It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. If you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. Choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. Welcome to Fightful, here with a name you know. Where don't you know him from? WWE. You've seen him in Lucha Underground, ROH, in TNA. And now you see him in MLW, back in the fold there, doing some things backstage as well. We got Paul London. Paul, how you doing, man?
Yeah, doing well. Thank you for the time. This is cool. Yeah, very cool. I'm doing okay. It's a good day.
Very, very excited. During a period where, quite frankly, I was sort of forcing myself to still like pro wrestling for a while because of the in-ring stuff, I looked at what you were doing and I was like, this is one of the guys keeping me held on to that. What was it like for you to have such a starkly different style than so many other people that were at the level you were at the time, especially in WWE in the 2000s?
I mean, frustrating, I think, is one way to put it. I know that I just recently did a show in Virginia, and I saw Brawler, who's one of my favorite people, Brooklyn Brawler. And I used to tell him all the time when I was there, I was like, man, this is frustrating. I feel like a Lamborghini that's just in the garage all the time, you know? And he was like, man, you're right. You know, you're so right, you know. and so we laugh about that, but that's kind of how it felt. I think I got my first inkling of that when I was at OVW, because at the time, OVW, I got there, this is 2003, probably early fall, similar to around now. This time a year in 2003, I was in Louisville, Kentucky. Louisville.
Oh, you got to say it appropriately. They get very upset.
It's like Nolans, you know what I mean? In Melbourne, you got to pronounce them correctly or they'll come after you with pitchforks and corn cobs. So I was at OVW and I wasn't there long. I was there. I mean, you could probably go back and look, but I would like to think that I was one of the shortest tenured OVW developmental guys of all time.
I feel like you didn't have many matches there.
I had one. Well, I had several. I had more house show matches than TV matches. And it's funny because people always ask, like, oh, did you ever meet Cornette? You know, and I'm like, well, I must have, because he called my match, the one and only match I had with Aaron Stevens.
Yep.
And it was kind of, they were kind of more juiced up for him, because I remember he went over and Cornette was pretty high on him. And I think I met him backstage, but nonetheless, I was very disillusioned with the training that I was getting at OVW, because I thought, oh man, this is the big leagues. Like, this is like NBA training camp. You know what I mean? I'm trying to make the roster. And it wasn't like that at all. I didn't find it all. I felt that it was very kind of systematic. It was very well, for example, whenever I hear the word factory, I kind of shudder at it. And the only kind of exception I would think would be Monster Factory, right? Because of all the greats that they've put out. And so, but typically a factory puts out you know, mass production of the same thing, does it not? And so that's kind of how I felt that experience there was. They wanted everyone to do the same stuff. They wanted everyone to work the same way. And I get, and I'm not saying a WWE style, because that in it, in and of itself took some adjusting to it. It took me a couple of years really to adjust to that style, to understand, that flow of storytelling, you know. And so, but at OVW, I felt that I would get kind of admonished for doing things differently and trying to kind of push it a bit further. Not like I'm trying to do anything that was insane, but it was just, it was taking the box that they were thinking in and offering up a very flowy orb of sorts. And they're like, well, that's not a box. It has to be in the box, you know, like, so that was frustrating. And anytime we would have people down, I was fortunate enough to work John Cena when he was ascending as a heel rapper.
Remember that.
Had Bull Buchanan at his side. And so, and I think he had caught wind possibly that I had gone through UPW's program post their developmental. But needless to say, we got along really well. So much, in fact, that he got in trouble after that match for giving me too much offense.
Oh, wow. Remember that? Yeah, was that on Velocity?
It was on Velocity. Yeah. And I get that point because I wasn't under contract at the time, but I was coming in fairly regularly, to the point where one time I remember Johnny Ace asked me who I wanted to team with and who I wanted to work with. And they're like, I'm not even under contract yet. So needless to say, I had this nice rapport with Cena, but even when he came to OVW, he's like, why are you here? Like, you don't need to be here. I'm like, hey, I'm just doing.
Did you have to relocate to Louisville? Yeah. You're kind of a Kentuckian there.
A bit. I was. Yeah. I experienced cornfield maze. All that stuff. Louisville does Halloween well. I would think all of Kentucky does Halloween really well.
Yeah. Oh yeah. We got a lot of attractions out here for that, for sure.
Oh, I'm sure. So I enjoyed this short time that I had there, but I didn't get an apartment. I was never thinking be here long term. It was almost how can I skip over OVW and get right in there, where I know I belong. But even then, when I got up to the main roster, it wasn't so much about people not being open to the ideas, match wise. It was more so a matter of how do we make these make sense? You know, for as much as, you know, Kidman and I weren't like friends. You know,
yeah.
I don't even know that I had his phone number when we were teaming, to be honest with you. We never rode together because he's married, you know, he's married with Tori, and we just weren't in the same circle really. Which was a shame because I was a fan of his growing up. But he helped me tremendously in terms of, because I think he has one of the most underrated drop kicks.
Oh, it's very good. Yeah.
Incredible. It's such an exclamation point. Bam. And so he taught me a lot about, you know, not throwing things away so much and slowing down and really getting the most juice out of everything, you know. Because when I watch back and I'm throwing out drop salts like they're clotheslines in a comeback. I'm like, what was I doing? No wonder my neck hurts.
I'm glad you talked about that period, especially because back then you were working like 01. You would pop up on WWE TV, ROH, TNA, but even MLW back then you had like you beat Jerry Lynn. So it's very clear. A lot of different places knew that you were about to be something or already were something. And MLW was one of those. I mean, because Jerry Lynn had already been well established by then.
Oh, yeah. His series of matches with Rob Van Dam alone, I was like constantly, you know, that's why I was such a loner in high school. So, like, you want to come over this weekend and watch WWE pay per view? Like, what? No. I want to say one of my dearest trainers, Rudy Boy Gonzalez, is probably the one that connected those dots between this upstart brand new company coming out of Orlando, this guy Corp Bauer. I'm like, Florida, cool, let's go, you know. And I believe Michael Shane was also on that early show.
Yeah.
Masada, I'm not totally sure. I'm trying to think of the Texas guys that were willing to travel. working Jerry, I just saw Jerry in Philadelphia during Mania Week at WrestleCon, and it's just one of my favorite people in the world. I think most people can say that when they meet him, because he's just so genuine. You know, he's like as Minnesota as it gets without the accent. Yes. In a way.
Yes.
So I love him, and the fact that I got to work with him and learn from him, kind of establish a friendship, and Daniels as well. You know, Daniels was somebody that I still have immense respect for, but I was working for a company in Texas called PCW. There's, you know, several in every state. And initially I was working for an NWA affiliate in North Richland Hills, and I'm setting the little seed right there. So I was working for an NWA affiliate in North Richland Hills. The affiliate won't be named because the promoter was a drunk piece of shit and he doesn't need to be named. So me and a few guys made the jump to his competitor, which was this company, PCW, who was doing things right. They had bought out this movie theater, had like stadium seating, and like they was connected to a gym. So they bought the gym as well, and they broke the brick wall down in the middle. So the whole gym was the locker room, and then you would go through this brick wall, and that's where they built the gorilla. It was this great – you can find these shows on YouTube at PCW. So needless to say, they brought in these names to work with me as well. And Daniels, that was the first time I had ever met Daniels and worked with him. And we became friends and are still friends to this day, which made it really special to get inducted later on in the Hall of Fame, the Independent Hall of Fame, with Daniels in that same class. But Daniels was there at MLW as well. And so I'm skipping all over the place, but I will state that, you know, January 11th, MLW will be back in Texas.
Yes.
I believe very close to, if not in, North Richland Hills. So very, very, very big loop-de-doop, Texas lasso full circle.
Yeah, they got Chicago, you know, November, New York City, December, and then Dallas in January.
That's it. It is sad that, you know, the cancellation for the Tampa shows, because I haven't been to Florida in over 10 years. It might even be longer than that I've been to Florida. It might be 15 years.
Yeah.
And I like Florida, you know what I mean? It's the Walmart of America, but I dig it.
There's definitely a lot of Florida man stories out there. My God. I mean, I watch a lot of true crime.
Hogan going to be the mayor of Florida. Hogan should be the mayor of Florida, or the governor, I'm sorry, of Florida.
I wouldn't doubt it. I really wouldn't doubt it, honestly. I watch so much like true crime, and like 90% of them are out of Florida. Like,
same. Yeah,
everything is like. And then in Pinellas County, I'm like, how do these people keep getting reelected? Like, if it all happens in Pinellas County, it's insane.
But I see one, and I'm like, is that a worker? Is that a guy who's like a worker, or used to be a worker? Like, you can kind of tell from the body family. Because they're like, workers fall off the trees or fall off of palm trees or come out of the swamp, I guess, depending on where you are in Florida.
But we mentioned MLW. So you had a bit of time off from wrestling and popped back up about a year or so ago. But
yeah,
I get the word that you're working MLW, your first time there in quite a while. And also, they were very excited to tell me you're helping out backstage too, and people are really liking you there. What led you back to wrestling and MLW?
Well, I took some time off during the pandemic. I was supposed to work the Ring of Honor show in Vegas.
Okay.
And that got canceled on or around Valentine's Day. It could be off a month. It could be March 14th, but I want to say it was around February.
Yeah. March.
Okay, it was March 14th.
It was March because so, I remember like the end of February, start of March, I was doing media with some people and we were all like, are these shows even going to happen?
Yeah. So I was geared up to go do that. And that got canceled. So then the whole pandemic thing happened and I was living at the time, very close. I was in Sherman Oaks at the time, but I was really close to all these, all this looting and all that. It was just chaos. Right. So my mind was everywhere but pro wrestling. Then I moved, to the hood because I wanted to get more street and I, you know, started working a shoot job and it was fun for a while, but then I started to see, I think AEW came up around the time and I have a lot of friends there. So mm-hmm. That's, you know, you're always going to be curious. So I was watching it and it's like, some of this is really bad. and then I was watching some other stuff just out of curiosity, but still didn't have too much of an interest. And I was, you know, I was still working out and training. And I was actually training at a ring in Burbank, working out with some guys. And I was kind of loosely training my roommate at the time, who's a comedian. And LA Knight would come in, Sean Ricker, he'd come in and work out this, you know, from time to time, which was great. You know, cause he and I are old pals, but, it was just cool. It was a little, just like a jam session for guys who wanted to just kind of keep the joints well oiled, you know?
Yeah.
But it was just like, you know, I think I'd really like to just kind of keep coaching and stuff, but just didn't really have much interest performing anymore. Not because I didn't want to perform, but because my confidence had kind of sunk so low and I felt, God, like all these guys are just doing so many explosive things. Like I'm going to be the fat guy going in there and just kind of like being like, hold on, ref, he pulled my trunks, ref. Whoa. You know, like, I was like, is that me? Is that, that's where I'm at now? Like, fuck, this is terrible.
You're stomping on the mat to get the crowd to clap for you.
Oh, yeah. They're just kind of sitting there. They're like, do a flip, do a destroyer. And so, you know, I didn't want to deal with any of that. And that was, I was convinced that that's where I was at in my life and in my career. And it got to the point where I actually reached out to Daniels and was like, hey, you know, like, I've seen the show, you know, I would love to help any way I can. Da, da, da. And I kind of got like a revolving door, answer. It was like, oh, well, yeah, no, see you later. and that was fine. I mean, I get it. I guess they have all the help they need.
They do not.
We won't even touch on that. But, you know, but back to MLW, I still believe in kayfabe. So much of that is school. It's the name of my wrestling academy. That's right. Kayfabe Academy. And we're juiced up to get re-energized here in the next couple of weeks. And there'll be more announcements coming on that later. But, a significant figure in MLW had been reaching out to me over the past few years. And this was during the pandemic. And then again, I left the hood and I moved to New Mexico, reached out to me when I was in New Mexico. But to be honest, my confidence just wasn't there. And I just thought, you know, Karrion Kross, Kevin Kross, he's another really good friend of mine. He was at MLW at the time. And I thought, oh, well, you know, if I could come in and do something with him, but I didn't want to put any kind of stain on him too, because he was doing so great. And I thought, oh, well, maybe there's something with this kind of underground kind of an iteration that they're doing with, you know, the members that were at Lucha. Maybe there's something there that I could kind of weasel my way in and kind of, you know, fool people into thinking I can still do this stuff. But it was mostly just all shit that was in my head. You know what I mean? And that's just, that's kind of the poison that when you're a performer, it can seep into your head and it can be very difficult to get that out. So long-winded answer wrapping up, fast forward to being back in Southern California. And it was actually my wrestling manager who receives my bookings and all that stuff, because it's sometimes difficult for me to keep up with a lot of it. And then it's like, I emailed you 3 years ago and you never respond. It's like, oh, the spam folder. You know, it just, some of that stuff just does my head in. So he helps me with that. And he's also the co-owner with me at my wrestling academy. And so he's really the one who stoked the fire, because I was working these kind of shit jobs. And I wasn't booking enough acting to live off of, because, you know, people are like, why do you live in California? Like, I'll give you one guess. You know what I mean? It's not for the palm trees or the weather. It's for the vast amount of opportunities that come across my way in the work that I love doing. So, you know, when I lived in New Mexico or in Texas, I would audition 5 times a month, maybe. Whereas when I'm in California, it's like five times a week, sometimes multiple times a day. So that keeps me on my toes, and it keeps my acting instrument well oiled and fresh. And it's, you know, it's like I'm going to the gym every day as an actor. So that's why I live out here. But then he kind of just kept pushing me and pushing me and pushing me. And I just, you know, finally was like, okay, you know, this seems like a situation that's safe enough for my insecure, crippled self-perception to do. And my dear friend Ricardo, you know, Ricardo Rodriguez,
another great fellow.
He has got this program out in Pennsylvania, out in Lancaster, Three Legacies, which I don't want to speak for him, but that's a fascinating story there, and just how that company has come about and how it's grown. So I went there in February of 22, I think, or 23. And I was in a tag match. And I was like, I'm going to be in the ring with you, right, brother? Like, none of these young whippersnappers are going to expose me. And, you know, he's like, yeah, don't worry, you know. And it was fun. It was a lot of fun, man. But we're always going to be our worst critic. And I'm a bit more seasoned now. I'm wiser. I'm not going to say I'm older. I'd like to think I'm wiser. But yeah, we get critical and our bodies grow differently and we look at ourselves differently and this and that. And so I was like, Jesus Christ, I look like a burnt jelly bean. I need to figure some stuff out. And I knew that I wanted to keep pushing forward to wrestling because I absolutely love it. I'm obsessed with it. I always have been. I always will be. I have this saying where it's like, you know, you can take the wrestler out of the ring, but you can never take the ring out of the wrestler. You just can't. So, you know, we're constantly looking for reasons to believe what we're seeing is real, because we're all marks, man, of varying degrees. We're all marks, you know. We want to believe what we're seeing. So it was really just weighing that down, and it was like, you know, I love this, and this is so fun for me. And I'm so privileged and like just really grateful that people still were interested in booking me. So fast forward to the MLW offer coming back around, and bless you, you know who I'm talking about, but he's in MLW. And it wasn't Court, but Court had a hand in it. But he
MSL?
Was wrong. I'm sorry.
Was it MSL?
Yeah. Is that, I was like, where's the M? Jay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, but yeah, I was just like, he's a heel though, right?
Yeah.
We can bend kayfabe a little. But hey, man, he was relentless. He was relentless. Bless him. Because it was one of the funnest nights I've had in recent time. Just recently, a couple months ago in New York City. I guess it was like a month ago, even. Not even a couple months ago. A month ago. But boy, I was a nervous wreck, dude. Because it was just like, holy shit. Like, this is... To me, they're right up there. They're right at the top. They're right up there as one of the, and now they're kind of an underdog because, you know, they in terms of money that these other, you know, obviously WWE and AEW have their money. But like, I would say we're right there because just from the talent roster alone.
Oh, there's great talent there.
It's phenomenal. Phenomenal. I'm like, this is like, I'm extremely grateful. So it's cool. It's very exciting, yeah. Man. Like, we will get back to Florida at some point and then we'll really be kind of full circle, but I'm just having the time of my life and I'm just so excited. All the talent that's there. One of my absolute favorite wrestlers in the world, is Timothy Thatcher. I can't say enough great things about him. I could watch him. He could be the only wrestler I watch, and I'm just happy with what I'm watching because I believe it. You know,
that leads me. Like, I had read that you were an amateur wrestler in high school. Can you expand on that some? Because that isn't something that a lot of people that watch you in WWE would automatically assume. And I love that. I think the transition to it is great. Guys like Shane Helms, for example, one of the reasons why I feel like they transitioned probably so early and so naturally was that amateur wrestling background that they had.
Easily. Yeah. It's as perfect a foundation for anyone that wants to be a professional wrestler. That's as great as a foundation as you can have, to doing this or martial arts. And having that level of physicality as part of your daily diet, your physical diet, is so healthy. Not just for sport and career, but in life. Because if you happen to end up in a fight, most fights end up on the ground. And if you know how to handle yourself on the ground, you have a better chance of surviving that situation or at least getting away from it. You know, with minimal damage.
Anywhere worth going is worth going in good boots, and you can find your perfect pair at Tecovas. Tecovas crafts quality Western boots for everyone, from generational ranchers and lifelong cowboys to first-time boot buyers, which is what I was up until a couple of years ago. Growing up in Kentucky, you see boots everywhere. But I never jumped into the game until I found Tecovas, and I love it. Every one of Tecovas boots are handcrafted with over 200 meticulous steps for broken-in comfort right out of the box. Whether it's a long day or a big night, your Tecovas are built to last and impress. That's why Esquire loves them and says they're the reason we keep coming back to Tecovas. They are so comfortable. Plus, with Tecovas Best in the West guarantee, you get free returns and exchanges for 30 days. And right now, get 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS when you sign up for email and text. That's 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS. That's tecovas.com/SRS. See site for details. Tecovas. Point your toes west.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
You can also mess somebody up pretty good too. Yeah. So, you know, I didn't have, there was no amateur program at my high school. I went to Austin Westlake High School. And it's a pretty storied high school in terms of sports. Drew Brees went to my high school. He was 2 years ahead of me, and we won state title through Drew Brees for football. Lakers legend Chris Mim. But Chris was a great dude. Chris is cool. Chris is very cool. Great tennis player, actually, for a 7-footer. But we had some great talent. Houston Street, baseball player. We just ton of great athletes came through there, right? But we'd never had a wrestling program. My high school was like it was like a mix between Beverly Hills High and the high school in Varsity Blues. So yeah, I mean, very much it was like that. Not so minuscule, like where it's just. I mean, football would dominate my high school.
Sure. But Texas, man.
Dude, and I'm the worst Texan. I still, to this day, you could put a gun to my head.
I would have never guessed you were from Texas.
Tell us the rules of football. Tell us how football is played. Tell us the rules of football. I'd be like, I'd be dead. Because I have an idea of how football is played, but I don't know the rules. I don't know what the positions mean. I don't know any of that shit.
Hey, listen, buddy, sometimes the refs don't know the rules in football these days.
So we needed to find me and a few guys. We needed like X amount of people on board who wanted to do the wrestling program. Then we had to find a teacher who was qualified. That turned out to be the geology teacher, who was like the biggest nerd in the whole school, right? Coach Fly. And he would make these terrible like dad jokes and stuff. And because I remember I went to like a Creed concert in high school. It was my first big stadium show concert.
Listen, man, I sarcastically picked up a Creed greatest hits vinyl at Walmart and laughed at it. And then I flipped it over and I like just hung my head because I was like, I'm buying this.
It's so good. There's so many good songs. It's so good. So I was talking about that wrestling practice, and he's like, well, I'm going to a rock show this weekend myself. But he was going to like a show where people who collect rocks. Anyways, we trained at the elementary school down the street. I mean, it was just very the whole program was brand new. So I was the first letterman. I was the first varsity captain. I was blah, 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 blah. This was towards the end of my high school run, though, so I didn't really have much time to build anything. And I wrestled up a weight class. I weighed 174 or 175 pounds, but I wrestled at the 184 weight class because we didn't have anybody in that division. And it was great. Just great to tie up all these football guys who would come in right off a football season and be like, oh, this is fucking sweet. And then you just tie them up and they're throwing up and they're like, oh, I think I want to try something else. And just watching them drop, you know what I mean? It was great. I love wrestling. I love wrestling at its purest form. I love catch wrestling. I just, I love that contest of mano a mano. You know, it's really a lion's fight, and it is a chess game. It's a mental chess game, a physical chess game. I mean, all these things are things that anybody who knows wrestling obviously already knows, but there's such a physical barrier that you're overcoming, win or lose, that you're always just ultimately testing yourself. You know, that's just what I love about it. It's the ultimate test of self, right? And I did a little bit of club wrestling in college, but ultimately I knew this isn't where I want to be. My favorite match I had, though, in high school was this kid tried to get away out of the circle. He kept trying to crawl out of bounds, and I dragged his ass one foot.
Love it.
Yeah, he kept trying to crawl out, and like all my friends would come to see, like the wrestling, the crowd
was trying
growing.
To powder out.
Yeah, he was like trying to crawl out, and I grabbed him by the foot and like yanked him all the way back in. He got up and I speared him, which was more of like a double leg takedown because you couldn't, you know, I kept wanting to like pick people up. I was like, no, that's potentially dangerous. Like, it's just a pile driver. No, I didn't. But but if you pick somebody up, you like your knees would have to come down before they did. Just, there were certain rules, which makes total sense because, you know, kids get, but you can die. You can die. You know, you can die. I mean, imagine taking a shoot pile driver or power bomb onto a curb or concrete. If someone happens to do that to you in the street, this will kill you.
Yeah.
This will kill you. You know, so you have to have ramifications. You have to have rules. You have to have standards. You know,
and I think it just, it's such a, obviously it's a perfect base. It's amateur wrestling, catch wrestling, definitely another one that helps out people. I mean, I don't think that I would have gotten through wrestling school if I hadn't taken break falls in catch wrestling to prepare me for that. It would have been such a stunning transition.
Completely. The falls came second nature. I think that's why I love bumping so much and why selling came so second nature to me as well, because I came up from a martial arts foundation, and very similar to how you're saying the break falls, you know, like slap the hand down and this. So that was just kind of second nature. I walk with what's called a Caesar neck in theater, where your neck is bent forward. And that's just from hooking your chin, right? So, like, all wrestlers kind of have that. But it can kind of limit your breathing and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But, I love physical sports. And when I'm interviewing wrestlers or potential wrestlers for the academy, because I interview everyone who applies to the academy, I interview them usually through a Zoom similar to this, because I'm not trying to bring in know-it-alls. I'm not trying to bring in anybody who I feel is going to create friction or you know, just I don't need to train pieces of shit. There's enough mixed school and mixed factories and mixed dojos out there for those people to go out there and cause headaches. Like, I don't need their money. I don't need their business.
I am refreshed to hear somebody say that, because I'll constantly have people be like, no, you should be nice to everybody. I'm like, no, I don't want $5 from pieces of shit. Like, they can, there's plenty of other wrestling websites they can give their money to.
Yeah. I try to show respect to every human being until they give you a reason to change directions. You know, until they give you a beat change, I try to give everyone the same respect. But there are people who they don't deserve that time anymore. They don't deserve further, because they have been earned it. They haven't proven that they are capable of it. And I've had a few knuckleheads come through the program that wash themselves out because they're not willing to do the work or show the commitment towards the work. And that's really what it's about for me, was how can I start slowly helping, at least contribute on my end, steering the ship as whatever way I can, to where guys will start valuing their bodies more, saving themselves more, not throwing away so much crowd. Because on one program, it's very evident this is a traditional wrestling program. And on another program, it's like, what is this, right? And I think that's why with MLW, I you know, it's like the week leading up to my return, I was a nervous wreck because of all the insurmountable kind of expectations I kept placing on my head. That'll just always be how I am. I have problems. But then seeing the workers who are there and the talent that's there, it gave me such a refreshing idea that, like, I can come here and I don't have to do all this stuff because there are already people here that can do all that.
Yeah.
And now I can come here and I can lend whatever knowledge that I have, whatever experience I have. And I really want to help as many of these people as I can because there's so much talent there and likable talent at that. And so the producer stuff was something that I had done, funny enough, at TNA for like a handful of shows.
I remember that, like, in 2019, yeah?
Yeah, and this was in Vegas. Well, they had caught wind of that because that's what I had come on to do at Lucha Underground a couple years prior. I had met with Lucha Underground to come on as an on-air talent right away. And this was for season two. Well, they had replaced Conan as a producer there because he ate a lot of salmon jerky. It wasn't in the budget anymore. So he left and they said, hey, we, you know, there's this thing as well, kind of on the side, but we wanted you to work. Well, I'd worked Brian Cage at an independent match and hurt my knee, so I couldn't wrestle. And they were like, well, why don't you do producing for season two? That way you can get the lay of the land, how we do things. And, you know, and I had the headset on. I was, you know, pressing buttons and talking to cameras and the director and trying to read these million move matches. And that was great. I loved that because then that allowed me to start seeing where I can fit in here as a character as well. And so Lucha Underground, I will forever hold in my heart as what really re-energized and started pumping blood back into my heart that was kind of squeezed out from my prior contract job. So, you know, I try not to look back on too many things, like, I can do this differently. You can't do any of that differently. So why bother? Just don't bother. I don't bother. Right? Fun little fantasy. Who cares? Focus on here. Focus on now. Sure, it's good to look at notes from stuff that's happened so that you don't make the same mistakes.
Of course, yeah.
But to sit there and dwell and fantasize about doing something, like, fuck off, right? I don't have time for that. So, but really that's what allowed me to start learning how to cut my teeth as a producer. And I'm working with Phoenix, I'm working with Pentagon, I'm working with Ricochet, I'm working, you know, Swerve, I'm working with, like, all these guys want to do AR Fox, all this shit, right? So I'm like, my head's exploding. So then, you know, with MLW, and Lucha Underground was its very own style, but with MLW, you know, because we have so much international talent, and I'm more of a fan of the hard-hitting selling style that's more akin to, like, Japanese wrestling than I am. And I love Lucha Libre. I don't want to give off the false impression that I don't like Lucha Libre. I love classical Lucha Libre. Love it, right? Atlantis, all day, right? Blue Panther, all day. I just don't, it's for as spectacular as it is, I want to see it matter. I want to see it have the effects on the guy. I want to see the selling, right? The selling is what makes me believe this shit, you know, the selling. And the Japanese have a different way of selling. But like now we have greats from Lucha Libre and we have greats from Japan. And then we got all this upstart talent in America. I mean, it's just, it's really a phenomenal roster that they've assembled. I've always been a fan of Matt Riddle's work. I don't know how the hell he wrestles barefoot. You know what I mean? Like he's got the Kevin Von Erich thing going. But he comes from a fighting background. So he knows to make everything. It's a competition. This is real, man. This is real. Right. Yeah. TJP, the guy's the encyclopedia of holds and moves and combinations.
On
and
one of the best runs of his career right now, too.
Insane. Just insane. So, you know, it's an incredible roster. And I'm very grateful to be invited back into it and to help however I can. So I'm all about just trying to improve other workers' lives and how they see themselves as performers so that they can get the most juice out of the squeeze, you know.
Speaking of, I have a friend, Vinny Pacifico, who wrestled you in March in New Jersey. Wonderful guy. Such a positive outlook. I think is very smart about how he's marketing and promoting himself and always doing skits, stuff like that. How was that experience? He was so jazzed up for that.
Oh yeah, I love Vinny. I've known him since he was 15 or 16.
Yeah,
I met him and his father at Pro Wrestling Magic, I believe, which is where we had our match. Kind of full circle there. Yeah, he's great. I love his enthusiasm, and he's a great talent. It's been really a blessing to see him develop into this young man. You know, he's got like he's married, he's family. I'm like, Jesus, like this kid's doing everything. He just did a European tour, I think, or he's on one right now. I'm not really sure.
He's got several European dates scheduled.
Yeah, he's doing great. He's really excellent at getting the marketing part of social media. I always feel like a bad car salesman, so I just don't do it. I'm a terrible salesman for myself. But he's really fantastic at it. And he even got a few like endorsements with like energy drinks or something.
Yep.
So we incorporated.
Dude hooks me up with G Fuel all the time. He's wonderful.
That's what it was. It was the G Fuel.
What? Was it that rolled the can out of the ring and it landed?
I shook it up and then it looked like I'm just jerking off a ghost. I shook it up and I threw it out of the ring to be a schmuck and it fell out and then it just fell and it stood straight up for the ring. It's like, this little bastard won't stay down.
how do you follow that in a match? Like, damn.
Well, yeah. As my career advances, here's the other thing that's such a challenge about MLW is that I'm a face again. I predominantly prefer to work heel. It's just more fun for me, and it allows me to help the flow of the match. Because contrary to the belief of all the distant marks who think they know how this works and think they know what's going on, I do not plan a good portion of my – I don't plan shit. We know where we're going, but then I really love seeing how we're going to get there. And what might come up, right? You don't plan a throwing of the can and hoping that it'll stand straight up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that is something that I relish more and more, the opportunities to improvise and wrestle, and let's just see how good we are, and let's see what we will see what comes of it. Not every match has to be a Tony Jaa action sequence, because nobody in wrestling is Tony Jaa. Like, none of you are Jackie Chan. None of you are, you know, Jean-Claude. And mind you, these action scenes in cinema take weeks, if not months, to shoot. Sometimes months to shoot a 6-minute scene, right? With editing and punch powder and all that stuff. That's why it looks incredible. I love the creativity behind it. But to me, I want to see something that looks that's more real, right?
Sure.
And I don't know why there's not more blocks in wrestling, because professional wrestlers love to block stuff with their faces, even if it's right off the bat when you're fresh.
I remember one of my catch wrestling coaches was one of my first opponents, and there was a picture of me doing a super kick to him, and he put his hands up like that. And I remember, like, an indie announcer is like, why did he put his hands up? I'm like, why wouldn't he put his hands up? Why?
Well, wouldn't he? Yeah, I think he can just deflect it or parry it a little bit. Like, the impact won't be great. And especially for all the no-selling that goes on, that can kind of at least explain that. So it's like, well, he didn't get all of them. You know, he got like 20% of that super kick. So, you know, when I was doing a lot of like Wing Chun Kung Fu training, that's when I was at Lucha Underground. And that's where a lot of it really started to change my work into, no, I'm not going to, I mean, I kind of, I'm not going to stand there and wait for this shit. I'm not going to look like an idiot.
Yes.
But you can do your twirly top. Like, I'm not, no, like, sorry. I want this to look as off the cuff, just ready to, like, this, the goal is to make this as real as possible.
Yeah.
As real as possible, you know? So that's the magic. When you're a heel, I'm sorry. It's easier to orchestrate when you're a heel. Traditionally, the heel is in general. That's how it was brought in. That's how it was taught. Any of that stuff that I can parlay to the talent at MLW, that's what I'm really jazzed up to do. So the producing stuff is great. It's not my job to tell them how to work, because these guys can all do everything. Mm-hmm. What can't they do? Right. And like I said, the MLW roster right now is like the perfect ice cream parlor. You know, you can walk in there. If you don't want ice cream, they got sorbet. If you don't want sorbet, you have ice cream. You want ice cream, they have all this wonderful, fresh ice cream, various flavors. They got gluten-free cones. They got bananas. You want bananas, but they got nuts. You want to get nuts? Let's get nuts. So pretty badass time of life for me right now in wrestling.
Yeah, no kidding.
Really grateful.
Before we wrap up, a reminder, everybody, check out Paul London's Kayfabe Academy and also MLW. But we talked about the realism. I want to talk about some non-realism. You were in a few wrestling games, a few wrestling video games. What was the process like, if at all, for you? Like, did they get your feedback on anything, whether it be the motion capture of your moves, getting scanned in? I'm always interested to hear about the process that wrestlers go through to get in these video games.
You know, it's funny because I've done more motion capture work for other wrestlers than I ever was asked to do for myself. I've even motion captured as China in a game.
That's incredible.
Yeah. Shot cannons and stuff. I remember more getting scanned for the toys than I actually do for the video game. And as an old man, I'm not much of a video game guy unless it takes quarters. But I did manage to upset Edge at the video game tournament in Chicago. Ooh. And then lose in the finals to that video game cheat, that video game glutton, Sheldon Benjamin,
who was in deep back then.
He bogarted that title every year after year, but he was obsessed with the video games and all the video game rats. And so I'm just kidding. I would go see my relatives in Denver, and they would be playing the game. I think that's the only time I had played it, aside from the thing with at Mania. It's cool. I don't know. yeah, it's too many buttons for me, man. That's too advanced for me. It's controlling. I'm just a button masher when it comes to that. Give me A, B, up, down, left, right, select, start. Let's do it. You know,
I'm with you. I always promised I wouldn't be the guy that got old and like fell off of technology. And I have two PlayStation 5s, but the games that I play are like the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles that is like based off of the Super Nintendo version. Like
that's nice.
What I play. And like I download Sunset Riders from 1992 and play it instead.
Sunset Riders is awesome.
It's incredible. Oh, incredible.
You're playing Moonwalker? That's a good one. Moonwalker.
Yeah.
Michael Jackson game.
That's one of those games that you look at and you're like, this game's gonna suck. And then you played it and it was like
awesome.
It was incredible. Yeah.
I'm glad that whoever scanned the AEW faces, I'm just glad whoever did that didn't do mine. Like, I'm just, at least it wasn't how did that work out?
There are some bad ones. Paul London, we've definitely got to do this again. Like, I've got so much more I want to pick here.
I got to be honest. Like, I didn't know what to expect. You can always hear the internet marks or the people that just want to troll everything. They just want to troll everything or, oh, they're all so negative, da-da-da. But, you know, I really try to just hold out until I get a chance to really talk to somebody. And, like, this has been a real pleasurable experience, yeah. A real fun time. I've really enjoyed getting to chat with you, and I look forward to doing it again.
Yeah, indeed. I've got so much.
MLW show. Maybe, you know, post-MLW live. Who knows, right? But
I'm in really talks. In talks to go maybe do some interviews at an upcoming MLW show. So I would love to. But
that would be great.
Guys, make sure you check out Paul London's Kayfabe Academy and also check out MLW Weekly as well as when they're coming to your city because they got Dallas coming up, they got New York coming up, and Chicago coming up. Paul London, I want to thank you so much for the time.
Thank you, Sean. This is a real pleasure, man. Great time, and we'll see you guys real soon. Yeah.
Until next time, guys, we're out.
Bye.
Buying pay-per-views on NordVPN.com/Fightful is going to enhance your pay-per-view buying process. Now, one subscription to NordVPN has so many different benefits, but if you're a big pay-per-view buyer like myself, UFC, boxing, pro wrestling, all that good stuff, any combination of the three, if they're doing a fight circus or something like that, this subscription will pay for itself after one or two pay-per-view buys. Change your virtual location, pay for it at the prices that other people are paying for it in the UK, in Australia, etc., etc. And you can get different interfaces. Maybe you don't like Peacock and you want to check out the WWE Network the way that it used to be, the way that it was designed to be, the easy navigation, so on and so forth. Maybe you want to watch AEW without commercials. Maybe there's some other overseas services that you can't subscribe to and you want access to them. NordVPN.com/Fightful gives you that with a great deal and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Even better, 24/7 tech support. So if you have trouble navigating any of it, they can help you out. Fastest VPN on the planet, NordVPN.com/Fightful.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply.
How do you feel when you switch to GEICO and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with GEICO feels just like that. Get more with GEICO.